Welcome to the Soul Talks podcast, where we equip pastors, leaders, and other men and women in ministry to thrive with Jesus in their life and leadership. Now let's join Bill and Christy Galtier, doctors in psychology, spiritual directors, and founders of Soul Shepherding.
Hello, Soul Talks community and friends. We're so grateful, Bill and I, to have you tuning in to us. It's a Monday morning where we're recording, and my soul is full because we have been blessed to have some really rich conversations together these last few days. Your pace has been forced slower this last couple weeks as you have been hit with pneumonia, and you've been forced to experience a slower pace and more rest, and that has opened up more time for us for connection and soul talk. Yesterday morning, it was a real grace to me when we woke up and we were just laying in bed. Usually, you would have been out for a run by then, but you asked me how I felt, and it was such a surprise to me to think about feeling. Am I having any feeling? And I started to open my mouth to answer you, and all this feeling came out. And I don't know how long I went out, and you probably know. But I was like, wow, I didn't even know I was storing all that in there. And it just felt such a gift and a grace that you gave me to listen to me and to be able to just unpack and share some of the things I was feeling. We'd been to my mom's house where we're in the last phase of getting rid of all of her belongings and furniture and things, just to put it on the market. And I had some emotions about that I hadn't even given myself to find words for. And so that was a great grace. And then we had some slow walks, because that's all you're able to do with the pneumonia. That's all your lungs can handle. And on those slow walks, we've had some rich talks, some good conversations. We've been slowed in a way that slowed our soul to open, to have some deeper connections and soul talks, and it's been a real gift. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's been a blessing for me too. I've enjoyed connecting with you, listening even more than normal, and I'm very, very thankful to be recovering. And I've been really had a lot of time to think and pray and reflect this last month since getting sick, and then the RSV turning into pneumonia. And this is probably the longest I've ever gone without running.
Certainly in the 40 years I've known you.
Yeah. So that's a huge consolation to me, getting outside in nature and running and praying and meditating and everything. And so it's been really different, and getting more sleep. I've needed that, which is good. And so I was thinking about one of the teachings. It's in Hebrews 12, verse 7, that is something the Lord put my attention upon decades ago. But it's a scripture, endure hardship as discipline, for the Lord is treating you as his son, his daughter, as his child. And the context is that every loving father disciplines his children. And that discipline is training. And it's really gotten my attention, something that I've sought to lean into over the course of my life as I've had different trials, different difficulties, and to realize that, well, maybe God is teaching me something in this. And there is a discipline, there is a training, there's a learning. And so that's certainly been the case with the pneumonia. And it's ironic, because we've talked about it on this podcast. Those of you that listen regularly, Christy and I, you and I talk about it all the time. We talk about it with, of course, our board, with our people that support us, our staff. And so I'm a hard worker, and especially in these years since the soul shepherding pivot in the last 4 years or so, and as we've experienced a lot of growth, and it's been exciting and challenging and difficult and honoring, and all wrapped together. And so it's difficult for me to moderate that. And I have different ways that I do that, with different ways that I relax and practice Sabbath and things that really help me. But it's always there's always some challenge to that. because the work opportunities and ministry is endless, and it's wonderful. And so I've had a chance to do a lot less.
Well, it's been really interesting, Bill. You titled this podcast, is it Grace in Difficult Times?
Surprised by Grace in Hard Times.
Okay, yeah.
And I thought that might be a better title than Endure Hardship is Discipline. All the ascetics like me would be like, oh yeah, Endure Hardship is Discipline. I want to talk about that.
Yeah, well, it's because you have embraced this and thought so much and meditated so much and tested so much and seen that it's really is wisdom and truth and even grace to lean into trials and to let them be a part of your formation in Christlikeness, which is another way of saying this. It's the way you write about it in Your Best Life and Easy Yoke book as part of the Triangle of Transformation. And we've really found that to be true, that rather than wasting our trials, throwing them away, just feeling self-pity for them, or just trying to grit our teeth and bear it, get through it, depend upon things to distract us from them, or try to find false consolations in them, we found this is the better way to lean in and say, okay, this is part of my discipleship to Jesus too, and to trust God's loving me in this, and there's something good he's willing for me in this, and I want to respond to that. I want to open my soul to that. That's other language for what you're saying. And I say this language because this language is a little bit more palatable for me, because when I hear the just endure hardship as discipline, there's something in me that just reacts. And there might be for some of our listeners too, there's a part of me that feels like, whoa, discipline just to me feels very bad. I see for you in your personality, your type, you've always been very strong, very much. You'll discipline yourself. You like discipline. You know it makes you better and stronger. I'm the opposite. My association with discipline is it breaks me. It shatters me. It crushes me. I'm not strong enough for it. It separates me from God's love. That's my own internal, like, a reaction to that word or experience of, oh no, God's disciplined me, then I go to shame, or I go to fear, or I go to distrust of God and his goodness and love. Those are just automatic unconscious reactions to me to that word, discipline.
The discipline feels like punishment and judgment and rejection.
It's going to be harsh. It's going to be crushing. It's going to be too much for me. I'm too fragile to handle it.
Yeah, so there's this fear and overwhelm that you feel.
Mm-hmm. Or then another thing that happens to me in regards to this that I think some of our listeners might relate to is, well, this is really confusing because God loves me. And so if he's disciplining me, it seems like that's the harsh, angry God that I've worked so hard to try to correct my image of God of. And how do I know it's God like disciplining me versus because I've sinned and I'm unconscious of that sin, or I'm really needing correction, or if this is just the enemy just like coming and pouncing on me and attacking me and bringing bad into my life? How do I know which it is? And is it always right to assume that it would be God discipline me?
Yeah, and so what I've admired about, something I've admired about you, Christine, your journey is that you learned years ago that you needed to get things ordered the right way for your soul, and that's true for all of us. And so this message about discipline and training and topics like this is not the place to start.
For me, that was damaging because it just went to this place that God's just this angry, wrathful, mean, out to get you, perfectionistic person that I've got to please, and I got to get it all right all the time. And that leads me to legalism. It leads me to self-righteousness. It leads me to vacillating between shame and hiding and legalistic self-righteousness and trying to earn God's love.
And you had that struggle even though you, in your beliefs and doctrines, you knew differently. You knew the Bible teaches that God is loving, and you'd experienced that in many ways and believed that, but then there's this deeper area in your heart and soul and memories from your history and so forth.
That, and my behavior and emotions show what I really believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so for all of us in our spiritual formation development, it's super important that we begin with God is love. And we begin with the forgiveness of the Lord and the grace of the Lord, God's compassion and empathy. And so you had some need for healing there, and which then enabled you to approach training and spiritual disciplines from a whole different place that was life-giving for you.
Yes, that would be more about God loving and choosing me and wanting to develop me and framing it all in love.
Which this brings up something real important that we teach in our Soul Shepherding Institute. Many of you have not yet been to our Soul Shepherding Institute retreats, and we would love to have you come. It'd be so life-giving for you to be part of the community and all the things that you would learn. But one of the things that we teach in our Spiritual Formation Week is that spiritual formation begins with family formation. It begins with the first years and even days and weeks and months of our life, because spirituality is relational. And so our first relationships are with our parents, our family, and our caregivers. And so that's where we're learning deep lessons that are deeper than words. So many of them, the most important of them, are not in our conscious memories. They're not verbal memories. They're things that we experience. So it's called implicit memory. It's just like embedded in our bodies, our personalities, and we sort of play it out without realizing what's going on. And so there's very deep things that we have experienced, and that's where you're coming from in what you're sharing. And so, yeah, and even for me, as someone who is naturally gravitates towards topics like self-denial and spiritual disciplines and exercise and challenging myself, I needed healing in that journey. And so, because some of my draw to that, especially in my history, has been unhealthy as an oldest child, as someone who's a go-getter. I was ambitious and self-reliant in ways that were not conducive to faith in the Lord and submission and dependence on the Lord. And so I had to learn sort of a finesse and a different way. And so I too needed to really double back to say, but it all starts with God's grace and God's mercy and the kindness of the Lord. And it's the kindness of the Lord that brings us to repentance, meaning to turn around, to change, to grow, to learn. And so we all need to start at that level. And that's the way the Bible teaches us. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he begins with Beatitudes, statements of blessing. We don't have to do anything. It's like we're just there, and God is saying, you're blessed, and you're blessed, and you're blessed when you join me in my Father's world. And so...
So that's the spirit that we need to hear this endure hardship as discipline in, is that this is all bathed in his love and his willing good for us and his blessing us. But that sometimes in our times of trials or sufferings, it doesn't necessarily feel good. You're not feeling so loved that you haven't been able to run for a month. You're not feeling so loved that it seems like that's been taken from you, stolen from you.
Yeah. So in the beginnings of being sick and wiped out, you know, there were some dark times in there where I was having trouble breathing. I was just coughing all the time. I wasn't getting better. And it was humbling. And more than that, it was scary because I'm not used to that. I get sick and I recover. And it's like, this is the worst sickness I had since the first time I got COVID. And in some ways ended up being even worse than that. And so to be dealing with vulnerabilities and fragileness and mortality, it was very frightening. I all the treatments weren't working, and finally we went to the emergency room and all of that. And so there were some dark times in there. And in one of my meditations, was brought to the Psalms and the prophets. Isaiah talks about the treasures of darkness, and in Psalms we talk about pray about the we're in the shadow of his wings or in the shadow of his hand. and the thought that, yeah, well, there's a darkness in that shadow, and that I'm feeling darkness. I'm feeling like God's not answering my prayer. God's not helping me get better. And I'm missing health and energy, and I'm not able to work, and we have all these responsibilities and ministry that we need to do. And so, I mean, I know God is loving, and I know God answers prayer, but I'm not feeling that. And when you're sick and getting depressed, it can just feel like forever. It feels like you're just stuck trying to slog through a bog, and you can just hardly lift your feet and move forward, and feels like it's never going to end. And so I was getting some of that experience, and the Lord at one point just helped me see that, well, you know, in the shadow of his, in that shadow, I'm in his hand, and it's a loving hand. It's a soft, strong, but soft, caring hand there. And so that shadow is actually, it can feel like an abandonment, but there's actually a care and a protection there. And so then just beginning to get grateful for the ways that the Lord was caring for me and providing for me. And so I think that we can miss that perspective when we go through hard times. And that's why we titled this Surprised by Grace. Or the irony of this time of sickness for me was that I really thought that we were being proactive about getting more rest, and with our sabbatical that we had in the fall, and some vacation time that we took, and just the rhythm of Sabbath days that we do every week, and other things. I thought that we were, and we were. The Lord was caring for us and guiding us, and it was really helping us. And so then to get sick after that, it's kind of like it would have made more sense to get sick before all that.
If you hadn't been doing all of that, it would have made sense that, okay, I got sick. I was pushing it too hard. I was burning the candle at both ends, and I set myself up for this, and I need, this is a forced rest that I need. But it was a surprise to you that here you were practicing your philosophy that ministry begins with rest, and you were practicing your disciplines of that you've structured into your life to force you to rest, because it's not natural for you to do. You don't feel like you need it. And so then to be realize you're in a position where you have all this extra forced rest you didn't count on.
Yeah. And so it really made me question things, because on the surface, it didn't add up, because I felt like I was relaxed and rested even more than before, and was practicing that teaching even more thoroughly than before, that ministry begins with rest. And now, of course, you know, there's lots of reasons that we get sick. We get exposed to something, and a lot of people have been sick, and you know, why did it turn into pneumonia for me? What was I exposed to? So there's a lot of factors here. But the point of enduring hardship as discipline, when you go through a trial or a hard time, to think about, well, what is my loving God teaching me right now? And, well, what did my Savior go through in terms of his sufferings, that even though Jesus never sinned, I think that there's a sense in which he endured hardship and trials and difficulties as opportunities to learn and grow. It wasn't only about his ministry to us and teaching us. He was a person living a life, and he was growing in grace and wisdom, we read in the scriptures, all through his life, which is an incredible mystery, that our perfect Savior was, in a sense, being perfected, of continuing to grow and to learn and to be even more, if he could be, even more loving, even more holy. And so just leaning into that, well, so what are you saying to me, Lord? And I felt like it was, in many ways, a confirmation of what God had already been saying to us about doing less and slowing down more and passing the ball more to others on our team and developing others in ministry, which we've been doing. There's accumulation. It's always hard for us to understand these things. I mean, we deal with it with, if you've ever had panic attacks or an anxiety attack, a lot of times when you have that, it doesn't make sense. Well, I wasn't that stressed. And I've had so many people over the years tell me this, and, you know, ask some questions, and And well, you know, there were a lot of stressors there that they weren't recognizing. And then there was the accumulation of these things. And what happens is the stress gets into our bodies. And so we're not conscious of it. And it takes a time. It takes some time for it to take its toll on us. And so I think that was part of what was going on for me. And so to just really lean into the Lord is saying, well, here is some more rest for you, Bill, that you are needing. And to accept the sickness, like we said in the podcast recently, sickness is musical rest. That even in music, there's a pause, a rest. And God's singing a song in our life. And it doesn't feel like that when we're sick. And, you know, a hardship doesn't feel like, oh, well, this is God loving me. It feels like a bad thing. Like, I want to just get out of this. And but no, we don't want to throw our trials away. There's gold in there, Peter says. In our faith being developed. And so, you know, what can I learn from this? And so it's been an opportunity for me to sleep more and to linger in bed, like you were saying at the outset, Christy, in the morning with you, and to walk slower and to realize that, well, I can't just go back and do what I did before. Even though my body, my muscles might have the strength. I mean, I've lost some strength, of course. But I still have a lot of strength in those muscles, but then I don't in my lungs, mm-hmm. and my lungs are still healing.
Yeah.
And so having to have a limit there and there's difficulty for me in accepting those limits, but then there's also a blessing. That's the point. That's the surprising grace in the hard times, is that there's a great blessing in recognizing my limits. And I mean, life is full of limitations and losses. And as we get older, we experience more and more of them. And so leaning into that, this is preparation for future losses to come. And then of course the ultimate loss from the standpoint of life on earth when we die and we just come to the end and the ultimate limitations.
Well, I've really appreciated this spirit and intention in you, because feel like it has helped you to still be joyful, even with the loss, even with the limitations, even with having some things that you really enjoy, rhythms and habits and values that are important to you, forced out of your hands in a sense, or out of your control. And yet you haven't been angry and angsty and complaining and miserable to be with, because you've been practicing this trust, this submission to God in it, this attitude of, no, God is good and he's loving me now. And how can I lean into this? How can I experience his grace in the midst? What can I learn? And then also, I've appreciated you processing some of that with me, talking about some of that with me, has been really helpful too, because it's helped me to know what God's doing and how you're hearing and responding to him, how to pray for you. And it's also helped me to be able to think about this. Well, this is an opportunity for me too, because there's been trials and trainings and losses for me in this as well. And what is God speaking to us, not just mm-hmm. to you? What is God teaching us?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been areas that I've been more resistant to slowing than you, surprise, surprise. So certainly not in the area of physical running or exercise, but in terms of ministry, I haven't wanted to let go of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so for our listeners, as Christy's talking about me being positive and joyful and not angsty and angry and so forth, but there's been complaining. I have definitely, in our processing, you called it, Christy, there's been complaining and, venting and
yeah, but a lot of that's been
emotions.
Lament. It's been mm-hmm. processing the negative emotions in healthy ways. It's a healthy lament.
Which is what we always try to lean into, is there's a difference between a negative, unhealthy complaining that has a self-pity in it and externalizing of the problem, rather than owning what part of it is for me to own, blaming other people, getting depressed, isolating. That's an unhealthy complaining. And this is, but the healthy complaining is grief. It's emotional honesty. It's relational. It's seeking God in prayerful. It's submitting to God. It's seeking to learn from the situation. And so there's definitely a difference between unhealthy
You haven't been raising your fist to God complaining that he's allowed you to experience pneumonia or to not be able
to. No, I haven't, but it would be okay if I was angry. There are psalms that sound just like that. The psalmist is raising his fist at God, and which is in a way a scary thing to do. But when we're angry, you know, God can take that, and God would rather that we would be emotionally honest with him than to repress that or get sideways with that, because that's actually not loving to God and not going to be helpful to us. So it's always emotional honesty is always part of faith. And so if you want to know more about what we're talking about right now with unhealthy complaining and healthy lament, healthy grief, that's something we talk about in the grief chapters of our new book, Healthy Feelings, Thriving Faith. And so, Christy, you've been a great listener to me, and you've given me empathy and kindness and prayed for me and really helped me through this. And so the point I'm trying to make here for you who are listening is that the joy that has come, the blessings that have come, the surprising grace in these hard times is in part due to this trust relationship that we have and others, friends in our lives, supporters who have listened to us and prayed for us and encouraged us. And so it's going through the hard time with emotional honesty and vulnerability and trust in God and trust in the people that God provides and love one another relationships. And the joy, the deep wellspring of joy that overflows, cascades like a waterfall, that's what comes through this, these loving relationships and a deep trusting of God that is emotionally honest. And it's often not understood that way, because we have a lot of ideas in our world, Christian world today, that's sort of like, you know, we'll just choose joy and just put on an attitude of positivity and just be grateful. And the problem with all that is it's like half true. And it's the just part of it that is the problem, because if we're not also emotionally honest, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is, like the psalmist is, then it ends up being fake or superficial or an ideal self.
Or we're a defense just, mechanism.
A defense mechanism where we're denying pain or even sin. And that's not the real, genuine, robust joy. And that's not the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. That fruit of the Spirit comes from this deep attunement and union with God that is based in reality, including the reality of our brokenness and our stress and our hurts and our sins and so forth. So we need to go through that dark tunnel, and then we see the light on the other side and realize, oh, even though it seemed dark, Jesus was actually with me.
Jesus, we do thank you for the ways that you surprise us with your grace in our trials and our hard times, and even the ways that you manifest your grace to us in training us in disciplining us in love to grow us, to be stronger in you, to be more trusting of you, to be more like you, to be more loving and wise and more able to be sensitive to your spirit and attuned to you and intimate with you. So we ask, Lord, that you would give us your grace to be able to respond to you and to trust you and your love and your blessing, even in trials, and to receive your surprising grace and agree with it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm excited to invite you to join Bill and me and our new community of students who will be joining our class in spiritual direction. This is a 2-year journey where you can earn a certificate in spiritual direction. It's been life-changing for hundreds of our students who have completed it. And it includes 4 Soul Shepherding Institute retreats, as well as online monthly classes with Soul Shepherding Friends and so much more. We start a new class each year in March, and you can sign up by visiting soulshepherding.org or searching Soul Shepherding, become a spiritual director and follow the link also in our show notes. But we'd love to have you apply and jump in and start this new class this year. We accept students to join in our class all the way up through July 1st. If you didn't make that March deadline, we have a grace period for the next 2 months as well. We look forward to continuing to journey with you and following Jesus.
Thank you for joining us on the Soul Talks podcast. To find out more about growing in your life and leadership, subscribe to the podcast and visit us at soulshepherding.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram